33. Topology. Arlie was waiting for him by the elevator on the fifth and lowest of the hotel's parking levels. She'd changed back into the work clothes he'd first seen her in. Despite the patch of micropore on her swollen lip, the jeans and nylon bomber jacket made her look wide awake and competent, two things Lainey felt he might never be again.
"You look terrible," she said.
The ceiling here was very low and flocked with something drab and woolly to reduce noise. Lines of bioluminescent cable were bracketed to it, and the unmoving air was heavy with the sugary smell of exhausted gasohol. Spotless ranks of small Japanese cars glittered like bright wet candy. "Yamazaki seemed to feel it was urgent," Lainey said.
"If you don't do it now," she said, "we don't know how long it'll take to get it all up and running again."
"So we'll do it."
"You don't look like you should even be walking."
He started walking, unsteadily, as if by way of demonstration.
"Where's Rez?" "Blackwell's taken him back to his hotel. The sweep team didn't find anything." "This way."
She led him along a line of surgically clean grills and bumpers. He saw the green van parked with its front to the wall, its hatch and doors open. It was fenced behind orange plastic barricades and surrounded by the black modules. Shannon, the red-haired tech, was doing something to a red and black cube centered on a folding plastic table.
"What's that?" Lainey asked.
"Espresso," he said, his hand inside the housing. "But I think the gasket's warped." "Sit here, Lainey," Arlie said, indicating the van's front passenger seat. "It reclines."
Lainey climbed up into the seat.
"Don't try it," he said. "You might not be able to wake me up."
Yamazaki appeared over Arlie's shoulder, blinking.
"You will access the low-res data as before, Lainey-san, but you will simultaneously access the fan activity base. Depth of field, dimensionality, the fan activity data providing the degree of personalization you require. Parallax, yes?"
Arlie handed Lainey the iPhones.
"Have a look," she said. "If it doesn't work, to hell with it."
Yamazaki flinched.
"Either way, we'll go and find you the hotel doctor after."
Lainey settled his neck against the seat's headrest and put the phones on.
"Nothing." He closed his eyes, heard the phones power up, opened his eyes to those same faces of data he'd seen earlier in Akihabara, characterless, institutional in their regularity. "Here comes the fan club," he heard Arlie say, and the barren faces were suddenly translucent. Networked depths of postings and commentary revealed there in baffling organic complexity.
"Something's," he started to say, but then he was back in the apartment in Stockholm with the huge ceramic stoves. But it was a place this time, not just a million tidily filed factoids. Shadows of flames danced behind the narrow mica panes of the stove's ornate iron door.
Candlelight. The floors were wooden planks, each one as broad as Lainey's shoulders, spread with the soft tones of old carpets. Something directed his point of view into the next room, past a leather sofa spread with more and smaller rugs, and showed him the black window beyond the open drapes, where snowflakes, very large and ornate, fell with a deliberate gravity past the frosted panes.
"Getting anything?"
Arlie, somewhere far away. He didn't answer, watching as his view reversed, to be maneuvered down a central hallway where a tall oval mirror showed no reflection as he passed. He thought of CD-ROMs he'd explored in the orphanage, haunted castles, monstrously infested spacecraft abandoned in orbit. Click here, click there. And somehow he'd always felt that he never found the central marvel, the thing that would have made the hunt worthwhile. Because it wasn't there, he'd finally decided. It never quite was,
and so he'd lost interest in those games. But the central marvel here, click on bedroom, was Rei To'i, propped on white pillows at the head of a sea of white, her head and gowned shoulders showing above eyelet lace and the glow of fine cottons.
"You were our guest tonight," she said. "I wasn't able to speak with you. I am sorry. It ended badly, and you were injured."
He looked at her, waiting for the mountain valleys and the bells, but she only looked back. Nothing came, and he remembered what Yamazaki had said about bandwidth. A stab of pain in his side.
"How do you know that I was injured?"
"The preliminary low-res security report. Technician Paul Shannon states that you appeared to have been injured."
"Why are you here?"
"Lainey,"
he heard Arlie say,
"are you okay?" "I found it,"
the Eidaru said.
"Isn't it wonderful? But he has not been here since the renovations were completed. So, really, he's never been here. But you've been here before, haven't you? I think that's how I found it."
She smiled. She was very beautiful here, floating in this whiteness. He hadn't been able to really look at her in the Western world.
"I accessed it earlier," he said, "but it wasn't like this."
"But then it rounded out, didn't it? It became so much better. Because one of the artisans who reassembled the stoves had made a record of it all when it was done. Just for herself, for her friends. But you see what it's done. It was in the data from the fan club."
She gazed in delight at a single taper, banded horizontally in cream and indigo, that burned in a candlestick of burnished brass. Beside it, on the bedside table, were a book and an orange.
"I feel very close to him here."
"I'd feel closer to him if you'd put me back, outside."
"In the street? It's snowing. And I'm not certain the street is there."
"In the general data construct, please, so I can do my job."
"Oh,"
she said, and smiled at him, and he was staring into the tangled depths of the data faces.
"Lainey?"
Arlie said, touching his shoulder.
"Who are you talking to?"
"The Eidaru," Lainey said. "In nodal manifestation?"
"Yamazaki." "No. She was there, in the data. I don't know how."
"She was in a model of his place in Stockholm. Said she got there because I'd cruised it before. Then I asked her to put me back out here."
"Out where?" Arlie asked.
"Where I can see," Lainey said, staring down into intricately overgrown canyons, dense with branchings that reminded him of Arlie's real tree 7.2, but organic somehow, every segment thickly patched with commentary. "Yamazaki was right. The fan stuff seems to do it."
He heard Gerard de Louvrier, back in the tidal labs, urge him not to focus.
"What you do, it is opposite of the concentration, but we will learn to direct it."
Drift, down through deltas of former girlfriends, degrees of confirmation of girlfriendhood, personal sightings of res or low together, with whichever woman in whatever public place, each account illuminated with the importance the event had held for whoever had posted it. This being for Lainey the most peculiar aspect of this data, the perspective in which these two loomed. Human in every detail, but then not so. Everything scrupulously, fanatically accurate, probably, but always assembled around the hollow armature of celebrity. He could see celebrity here, not like Kathy's idea of a primal substance, but as a paradoxical quality inherent in the substance of the world. He saw that the quantity of data accumulated here by the band's fans was much greater than everything the band themselves had ever generated, and their actual art, the music and the videos, was the merest fragment of that.
"But this is my favorite,"
Laney heard the Eideru say, and then he was watching Rez mount a low stage in a crowded club of some kind, everything psychedelic Korean pinks, hyper-saturated tints like cartoon versions of the flesh of tropical melons.
"It is what we feel."
Rez raised a microphone and began to speak of new modes of being, of something he called the alchemical marriage. And somewhere, Arlie's hand was on his arm, her voice tense.
"Laney!"
"Sorry. We need you back here now. Mr. Kuwayama is here."